There we go. Welcome to Faith and Leadership. We are on Caritas Media, and it's really a great moment in our society. This is when we have a general election in this country, and there's a lot of attention on races across the nation, across the state. But there's a very important race that's happening right here in our backyard. Maybe it might not get the attention that we should pay to it, but it's critically important to us and our lives in North Texas. So I want to welcome Gino Racine. Gino is a candidate for the 5th Court of Appeals in North Texas, which is a district, I'm going to say, that covers 6 different counties. Welcome, Gino. Welcome to the conversation.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And I appreciate the opportunity to reach out to your audience and talk about this election.
Thank you, Gino. So I want to get right to it. You know, the 5th Court of Appeals covers a very broad swath of our region, really. Tell us which counties are covered by this court.
The 5th District Court of Appeals covers 6 counties: Dallas, Collin, Rockwall, Hunt, Grayson, and Kaufman. That's an area geographically, it's about the size of Connecticut. For the last census, that covered approximately 4.2 million people. And as anyone who lives in this area knows, that number has only gone up in the past. So it's a very large area. And again, this is the state intermediate appellate court.
Got it. It's a state appeals court. And there are 13 justices who serve on this court. And you're running for place 11. Is that correct?
Correct. Correct.
Okay. And what kinds of matters come before this court? You know, I'm not a lawyer. Give us a quick understanding of the types of matters that are covered by and where there are appeals coming to this court from.
Sure. So, of course, this is a state court, which means that it's separate from the federal system. No federal court matters would come before this court. But with respect to state matters, it handles virtually every type of case. So anybody who has a judgment against them in a state court of record in one of those 6 counties might have the ability to appeal and has a statutory right to an appeal. Usually that would come to this court. So that would be civil, criminal, family law, probate, anything, your personal injury, business disputes, property, homeowners association disputes, malpractice cases.
I can't even fathom the sheer caseload that must be up in front of this court over the course of a year. Any sense of the numbers there? Do you know how many cases?
So the state of Texas Office of Court Administration publishes numbers on an annual basis. The last year for which statistics are available was for the year that ended the court year that ended August 31st, 2023. So for that 12-month period, the 5th Court of Appeals handled a little over 1,600 cases. That's over 1,000 civil cases and a little over 600 criminal cases. The 5th Court of Appeals handles a case, it sits in a panel of 3 justices. You'd mentioned before that there are 13 justices on the court. So at any one time, there are 4 panels of 3 justices and then a 13th justice who's handling administrative matters. So to put that in perspective, within a year, 1,600 cases, you know, just kind of rough numbers, a panel might handle 400 cases, and this court has to issue a reasoned opinion that addresses all issues needed to dispose of the case. So of those 400 cases, if you call it about 400 opinions, so each justice is writing on average more than 100 opinions, more than 2 a week on average.
Oh my goodness. Wow. That's amazing. The workload just staggers my mind. And you know, that's our system of law and justice. And I do feel we feel very blessed to have what I think is still a relatively efficient court system, right? There are those that might disagree with me, but this is a system that really works very hard on behalf of us citizens in this area. And now let me ask you a question. Again, I'm not a lawyer, but to understand a little bit, is this a court of last resort? If a case is appealed to this court and there's, what are the, maybe give me a quick sense of the various paths that particular case can take. It's either there's a decision rendered, and what types of decisions, and what could the next step be for a case?
Sure. Technically speaking, this isn't a court of last resort. It is not. But effectively, for many litigants, it is the last court that will ever hear their case. So when an appeal comes to the Fifth Court of Appeals, the Fifth Court of Appeals can determine that it needs to be sent back down for another trial. Or
so that's rejecting that, that's sending it back down. Got it.
Or it can affirm, you know, depending on what the affirmation is, depending on what that disposition might be, it could render judgment in the Court of Appeals. It just depends on the nature of the of what's being reviewed and what the appropriate outcome might be. Now, if a litigant isn't happy with the Fifth Court of Appeals, then there are a couple of avenues they can pursue. For civil matters, they would go to the Texas Supreme Court. For criminal matters, they would go to the Texas Court of Criminal. Now, the Texas Supreme Court is a court of discretionary jurisdiction. So similar to the U.S. Supreme Court, somebody would have to petition the Texas Supreme Court and get the Texas Supreme Court to actually take the case. And to give you an indication of how likely it is statistically that the Texas Supreme Court might take any particular case, for that same year that the Fifth Court of Appeals put out more than 1,000 civil opinions, the Texas Supreme Court statewide for all of the appellate courts took just over 100, about 107 cases. So just a very small fraction of the cases that are heard on the state intermediate appellate court level, with the Fifth Court of Appeals being one of those such courts, just a very small number of those does the Texas Supreme Court actually take.
Okay. So that's helpful to know. And by the way, these stats and this understanding isn't just a casual understanding from you, Gino. I think it's fair to say that you're very experienced with this court. I think for 15 years now, you've been handling appeals before this court. So you've got some familiarity with this court. Is that right?
Yes, it is. So about 15 years ago, I decided I really wanted to focus my legal practice on appeals. And I took a job at the Second Court of Appeals, which sits in Fort Worth. And so it's a different geographic area, but the exact same nature of the work and exact same placement within the Texas state judicial. So I was able to understand what the appropriate nature of this court is and what the standards of review are, what its role is, and more importantly, in some instances, what the role of the court shouldn't be. So then for the past 15 years, I've practiced civil appellate law and I've become board certified in civil appellate matters.
Got it. So being board certified in civil appellate law by the Texas Board of Legal Specialization is actually a very strong distinction as far as I'm concerned for this particular role. And not only have you argued cases and practiced law before this particular court, so you have an understanding and some insight, but your opponent, I'm not going to mention her name quite yet, your opponent has never appeared before this Fifth Court of Appeals. She's never appeared before any Texas State Appellate Court ever. So just in terms of basic experience, I do think, and we'll talk about qualification in just a moment here, but quite a number of parties, of entities, unbiased entities or entities that are nonpartisan, I should say, have weighed in and have endorsed your campaign. But that's helpful to know, Gino. So let me step back a little bit and ask you some questions about maybe the three broad areas. Let's start with your background and your history. You're a North Texan by, I think were you born here? Did you live here all of your young life?
My family got here 50 years ago. So I wasn't born here, but I got here as soon as I could. And, right. I grew up here. I'm the youngest of eight and most of my siblings still live in the area. They all still live in Texas. And I've got a lot of nieces and nephews. My wife, Rita, and I have been married for 25 years and we have five children of our own. We've got two in college, two in high school, and one in. As far as academically, I went to high school here. I went to Cistercian, which is a prep school in Irving that some people around here might be familiar with. Then I went to Georgetown to study international politics. I was really fascinated by politics and, in particular, other cultures, other perspectives, trying to learn from other people who don't have my same background and try to understand where they're coming from. Which I've always found fascinating. And then after a while, I decided I really wanted to raise my family eventually here in Texas because of my family, because of my attraction to living in Texas. And went to law school at the University of Texas, I was fortunate enough to do very well there. Graduated with honors or coif. I was on the editorial
Law
board
review
of
there.
the Texas Law Review. Yes. I clerked
Okay.
for a year for a U.S. district judge. Actually, when I was at the University of Texas, I interned for a Texas Supreme Court justice for one semester.
Okay.
And
Okay.
after that, I've been practicing in the Dallas area ever since. And like I said, I
Okay.
focused on appellate matters for the past 50.
And so, yeah, you're in private practice currently, with a law firm. I should ask this, right? So even before we sort of get to your campaign positions, this is an interesting point in our society and sort of in our history as a nation, right? The notion of our Constitution is under attack, as far as I'm concerned. There are parties inside and outside this nation that don't have the greatest regard for our Constitution, and it's an amazing basis and system of law that we live under. I believe it's fair, and there are moments when I think there are issues with the way, for instance, recently I can speak to the fact that there's so much lawfare being used for political purposes. But what compels you in 2024 to run for a position on this Court of Appeals? Are you still excited about the law? Why do you care about the Constitution? Right? There's many folks who say, forget it. It's just the U.S. Constitution. It's on its way out. And that's not my position. I'm a great believer of this wonderful nation, its constitution. But tell us personally, where's your heart and why do you want to do that?
A couple of things. First off, I am a believer in the rule of law. Every judge who sits on a Texas court, whether it's a trial court or appellate court, takes an oath to uphold, to protect, and to defend the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, the Texas Constitution, and the laws of the state and the laws of the country. And I would take that oath and that honor very seriously. To me, that means enforcing, interpreting the Constitution as it's written and laws as they're written. And to knowing what the role of an appeals court is. It's actually a very modest court in one respect. And by that I mean the trial court is where the facts get determined.
Right.
And the legislature or the Constitution, or in some cases the Texas Supreme Court, I mean, whatever the Texas Supreme Court says is binding on this court, as are the laws of the land and the Constitution. So the Fifth Court of Appeals has the facts handed to it from another court and has the law handed to it. I would never legislate from the bench, and it wouldn't be appropriate for me to quote unquote find facts because the facts need to be found somewhere else. So
Right.
that's the appropriate role of the court, and I think that it's important to everyone to know that they will be treated fairly and with respect. I mean, we do have an adversarial legal justice system. There are winners and losers, but it's important for everyone to know that they've been heard and they're treated fairly. And to me, that means that if I'm honored to serve, I would interpret the law as faithfully as possible based on the words and not try to come up with my own spin or my own take on how I think the result should. I want to always get
Sure,
the correct result, not necessarily what I think might be an appropriate result in any instance.
got it. So, again, as a layperson, might I put it this way? Of course, what you're talking about is judicial activism, right? Finding meanings in the Constitution and the law that may not be there. I want to help ask you to help us define that in just a moment. But is it fair to say, though, as a layperson, that you're as an appeals this appeals court is seeking to understand whether the law was properly applied in a case and in a decision. Is that fair, Nino?
Usually that's what's on review. Sometimes there's a
Yes.
factual sufficiency review as well. I mean, without getting too technical, there are different
Yeah.
ways that the appellate court can review, but certainly from a broad perspective, yes. The role of the appellate court is to make sure that the law was applied appropriately and that if it wasn't, that error was preserved and is to the outcome. There is,
No, go ahead, please.
No, I was going to say, in some limited circumstances, the appellate court can overturn a fact findings, no evidence of fact finding, legally
Yeah.
sufficient evidence, no factual support, a judgment or a verdict. So that's
And
another.
so it is standing something that this court, I mean, does this court ever determine, is it ever asked to determine, do these parties have standing to even bring a case, or is that all done before it gets to the appeals court?
Well, it depends on exactly what you mean by standing. The short answer is yes, it depends, right? It's a typical legal answer. There are scenarios in which standing might come up. There are cases in which a controversy, somebody might not have standing, or they might have a related legal concept is capacity. They might not have capacity to sue, or there might be ripeness issues or mootness issues, or there might be other reasons why the court doesn't have jurisdiction over a particular case. So those might come up. But as far as the types of standing opinions that the U.S. Supreme Court is grappling with these days, usually those aren't germane, but they can be in this, this level of court.
And before I move to those positions, you know, you're a member of the community. It's important for me to know that you're a solid member of the community, that you're active in this community, your family is in this community, both your family of origin and also the family you've chosen to raise your young family here. And you're active, I know, in community causes. Just quickly, what type of things have you done? What do you do? What does your family do? Are you active in a civic way, Ron?
Sure. So as far as the legal profession is concerned, I'm on the board of a statewide Texas Bar Association section called the Civil Liberties and Civil Rights section of the State Bar of Texas. And that's a section that focuses on people's constitutional rights and how those might impact litigation in Texas. So I serve as the treasurer on that statewide section. In the community also, I'm on the parent advisory board. It's called the Academy Advisory Council of my kids' school. I'm also on the board of the summer camp that my kids attend. In the past, I've also been active in a lot of different church-related activities, including youth and middle school, high school ministries, and also marriage ministries. And
Super. We're talking with Gino. Go ahead, Gino.
No, I was just going to say, I just want to circle back because you'd ask me kind of like why I'm running. And that's really another reason why I'm running is because I've always had a heart for service. From when I was in Boy Scouts and attained the rank of Eagle to, you know, volunteering at church, volunteering. When I was in law school, I took a full-time job one summer volunteering at the Dallas Housing Crisis Center. And when I went into private practice in the Dallas area, I actually served on that organization's board for 10 years, 1 year as the president. So I've always had a heart for service, and I've always had an aptitude for the law, in particular appellate law, legal research, writing, reasoning. And this just seems like a natural fit for me to have my heart for service match up with my skills and my experience professionally.
Very good. Thank you for saying that. We're talking with Gino Rossini, who is running for a place, place 11 on the Fifth Court of Appeals. It's a state, it's a Texas state court, which covers six counties, all the counties we would consider to be North Texas, to cover North Texas. So, you know, now let's talk about your positions and sort of the three main messages. So I want to understand, right, as a voter, when I see your name on the ballot, you're running against Kim Cook, who has never, as we mentioned before, has never practiced appellate law. She's never argued a case before the appellate law. She's a family law attorney. And at one time, she has been licensed in 2002, and she was a presiding judge of the Dallas County 255th District Court, which is a family law court. There is a track record there, the public domain, with regarding a judicial temperament and demeanor. And everyone who's listening here and everyone who's voting should do a little bit of investigation about her reputation. And I will say, sort of in terms of races, she lost the primary in 2022 to a primary opponent for that particular judgeship. Therefore, she's not currently a judge. And that particular bench doesn't even handle appeals. But let's talk about sort of the three main areas of the voter that is important to me. First of all, we want to know if you're qualified and experienced. You've already told us about your experience. You told us about clerking and being a member. You've interned with Justice Supreme Court. You regularly practice before the Fifth Court of Appeals. You specialize in civil appeals. So that's sort of at the heart of what this court looks at. And there is something called a Committee for a Qualified Judiciary, which is a group in North Texas. And tell us about their, how do they rank you?
Sure. Well, what they do is they are a nonpartisan, unaffiliated nonprofit, and they their role is to basically vet judges, vet judicial candidates, and determine whether or not they're qualified. And the way they do that is, so I filled out their questionnaire. It's about 31 questions. They're actually pretty invasive, detailed questions. They want to know a lot about a judicial candidate, which is fair. I
Yes.
mean, it was a detailed questionnaire, but one that I felt that voters need to know, and it's worth
Sure.
it to me to submit to that. So, for
Gotcha.
example, I outlined a lot of different appeals that I've handled. I identified opposing counsel in those appeals and provided their contact information, presumably so they can
Okay.
actually reach out to people who I've been adverse to in particular appeals to determine what sort of lawyer I am and what sort of demeanor I have. In
Right.
addition to my other qualifications and background that we've already discussed. And then after that questionnaire, I was interviewed by a committee of a vetting committee. And then after that, the Committee for Qualified Judiciary votes, and with a two-thirds vote, they deemed me qualified. So that's what they
Very
do.
good.
They either have a candidate who submits to this process, they either deem them qualified or they remain silent. So
Yes.
in my race, I'm the determined to qualify that group.
Very good. And beyond that, of course, a much less of a legally qualified organization, the Dallas Morning News, has also indicated that they've recommended you in this race. Is that the correct terminology?
Yes, it is. They recommend me. They discuss me and my qualifications, my temperament, my outlook, and they
Yeah.
also discuss my opponent. And they, in their estimation and their opinion, recommend that voters vote for me. And so I'm glad to have that recommendation as well. And one thing that's important to me that they highlighted in that editorial recommendation is my
Yes.
philosophy that this is a partisan race, but should not be a partisan position.
Right. Right.
And
Carrying out the Constitution of the United States and the state should not be a partisan consideration.
It just shouldn't. And that's my philosophy is that it doesn't matter who you are, what part of town you're from, if you think like me, if you whatever, everybody deserves to live in a land ruled by laws. And if I'm honored to serve, that would be my goal, to do my best, to work hard, to handle the cases before me, and to faithfully apply the law as written in an even-handed manner, fairly for everybody. So
Thank you.
that's why I'm particularly gratified to have the Dallas Morning News recommendation on that basis.
Well, and I'm going to use these words, your own words, from the Valopedia answers you gave, because I think this is personally very moving to me. You say you strongly believe that all people are of inestimable worth and all deserve to be treated fairly and with dignity. You know, as a lay person, as somebody who's subject to the law and wants to be subject to the law, there are certainly situations where it's dignity and respect is so important in our culture and in our society and according to our Constitution. All men are created equal, right? And I actually say, from a faith perspective, every one of us is a special child of God. Those are my words, not yours. And I'm very pleased to have a justice who will actually apply that philosophy about human beings and their inestimable worth individually to the practice of the law. By the way, what's your website, Zeno? Let's give it out, and we'll also put it on the screen later.
It's genoforjustice.com. That's Gino and the number four justice.com.
And
Gino
for those of you
justice.
that are not necessarily fluent in Italian, Gino, the number four, and the word justice.com, genoforjustice.com.
Yes.
So that's super helpful. By the way, one little, I'm a geek about the law, even though I'm not a lawyer. So this notion about conservative judicial philosophy, essentially, tell us a little bit, what does that mean? What about legislating from the bench? Should I, as a judge, a justice, be reading into the words of the law something that's not there? You make some reference to the public meaning of the text of the Constitution when ratified. That's a complicated thing, but tell us a little bit about that, maybe quickly, because we don't have a ton of time.
Sure. Well, like I said, this is a very modest court because the Texas Supreme Court is binding on this court. And in in federal matters, the U.S. Supreme Court, in particular, the U.S. Constitution is binding. So the judicial philosophy that I have will be to look to those courts to take my cue and to make sure that I'm faithful to those binding precedents. The way I read certain of those precedents is that the Constitution should be interpreted as written. And the idea that we are all together bound by laws either that have been passed yesterday by the legislature or that have been ratified perhaps a century or more ago when it comes to a constitution. And obviously our Texas Constitution gets amended much more frequently, U.S. Constitution. But be that as it may, the idea is that when the polity comes together and decides on a particular provision of the Constitution, it decides, and then that's something that everyone lives by until amended. So when everyone's together and decides on a particular provision of the Constitution and it gets ratified and becomes law, then that is what a judge, I believe, should strive to interpret and decide cases based on, which is the public meaning of the provisions of that particular constitutional language at the time that it was ratified, because that's when everybody got together and whatever the process was legally decided to make that language part of the Constitution.
Yes, and it's gratifying that you have what I believe to be a conservative philosophy. You're looking at impartiality, you're looking at fairness, and you really don't want to get beyond your britches. I mean, there are already stakeholders, a court has already ruled on a particular matter, and you're here, it's been appealed to the Fifth Court of Appeals, and therefore there you're going to help to ascertain that the law is applied fairly, people standing, and that the law, the Constitution as it was written, applies correctly in this. Anything else that you want to tell us? You know, I will remind listeners and viewers that when you go to the polls, you're going to find a race for the Fifth Court of Appeals on your ballot. And Gino Rossini is running. And here you have his qualifications. He's eminently qualified. His experience has been endorsed by some nonpartisan groups, including the Dallas Morning News and a committee for a conservative, what's the name of the committee?
Committee for a Qualified
Judiciary. Yes. And Gino is running against Kim Cooks. Anything else you'd like to tell us before we wrap up?
Well, I do want to say, yes, the election is on November the 5th, and I do ask for your vote. If you live in these six counties, you can vote for, and I ask that you do. There are other races on the ballot, obviously, and I do want to let voters know that of the 13 justices on the Fifth Court of Appeals, there are actually 8 seats that are up right now. So those are different places that are geographically coextensive, meaning all voters in those six counties can vote for all 8. And I do invite you to research all 8 positions and get to know the people running, because this is a very important election in the life of the court. More than a majority of the justices will be determined by this election. And so going forward, your voice, your vote matters. Please educate yourself and vote in all 8 races.
And what's the term of once you're elected? What's the term?
It's a six-year term.
Okay. Well, you're a young man, Gino, so you've got 10 or 11 terms ahead of you.
One day at a time. But yes, thank you.
One day at a time. Well, thank you, Gino Rossini, for appearing, for being here to help educate us, inform us. This is a consequential election, as they all are, but we really applaud you for your desire to serve the state, the region, your country, to help us to faithfully to carry out the Constitution, which is so important to all of us. We'll pray for you, Gino. I ask that God, I wish you Godspeed, wish you and your family and this really fairly daunting and challenging, you know, a lot of work that you've put in. I've seen your campaign. You've done such hard work. We really appreciate all that you've done. Thank you for being with us on Faith and Leadership. Thank you for running, Gino, and everyone that's listening. Please get out and vote on November 5th. Vote for Gino Rossini for the Fifth Court of Appeals. Thank you, Gino.
I do want to say thank you, Jerry, and thank you to my family, and in particular, thank you to my wife, Rita, for whom none of this would be possible without her help. And so
Yeah.
it's definitely a family team effort. And I really appreciate it and blessed by her support. So thank you.
Well, I applaud her, applaud you and your whole family. God bless you. Thank you, Gino.